Hi, everyone, and welcome to Injustice for Animals, the podcast, where we will be having honest, insightful, and yes, sometimes even challenging discussions with amazing people who are focused on making the world a better place for animals. The belief being that when we do that, we make the world a better place for all. I'm your host, Jennifer Peterson. My guest today is a true hero for animals. If you work in animal welfare, you probably already know her, at least by name. And if you don't, it's my honor to introduce to you Patty Shanker. Patty has been an active fighter for animal justice since 1975. She's funded spay and neuter programs in high-kill areas of Los Angeles, purchased land for a wild horse and burro sanctuary, fought with other activists to free the Asian elephants at the LA Zoo, and was successful in getting one of them, Ruby, to a sanctuary called Paws in Central California. She lobbies for humane laws and lawmakers and funded for several years the Rutgers Animal Rights Law Clinic, making Rutgers the first university in the U.S. to have animal rights law at a university. Patty travels to Thailand, Cambodia, and Indonesia to be with rescued elephants and orangutans, and lectures about the current plight of the orangutans, which is what we are going to be talking to her mostly about today. Patty has been honored by Wildlife SOS, the California Wildlife Center, Animal Acres, Stray Cat Alliance, and New Life Animal Sanctuary, as well as receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award from VegFest. And it's my honor to welcome Patty Shanker to the podcast.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Well,
I'm thrilled to be here.
I'm telling you, Patty, it was really hard to trim that bio down because I don't even know. I could have just talked a half hour on all of your accomplishments.
Thank you. I've been in it a long time.
Well, it says 1975, and one of the things I left out, too, is you've been a vegetarian for how long?
Actually, that was my first step, and it was 1970.
Wow. And then you became vegan?
2001, 31 years later.
Incredible.
I wish I'd become vegan earlier, but I got there.
You got there, and becoming a vegetarian that long ago, not everyone was doing that. So I'm kind of curious, before you start talking about your work now, I want to hear about, what led you to that.
I would love to tell you. It was my first year of college, and I was going to Pitzer College in Claremont, California, a very liberal school, but there weren't very many vegetarians, I have to say. And I decided one night that I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life or be in my life, but I wanted to live a nonviolent life. And I realized immediately that the violence in my life was on my plate. Mm. And so I stopped eating animals that night, and I've never eaten another one since.
That's incredible.
And then I coined the phrase, peace begins on your plate, because I truly believe it does.
I agree with you. But let me ask a little bit about your childhood, because, I mean, did you grow up around animals? Did you have parents who loved animals? I mean, tell me a little bit about where you grew up and what that was like.
I grew up in St. Louis, and my parents were very much philanthropists, but for humans. My father was a criminal lawyer who defended a lot of the black folks in St. Louis, and they were into the Jewish causes and against capital punishment, all the social justices except for the animals. I was able to talk my mother into letting me have a poodle because she had been bitten by a dog when she was young and had to have that whole rabies series. So she was quite frightened of dogs. So they gave in and I got a little dog. And I have to say that even though vegetarianism was really my first step into animal activism, mm-hmm. it's because of my dogs. They taught me that animals feel pain, they feel love, mm-hmm. they feel joy, and they suffer. And I knew that that was true of all animals. So Cesar Chavez credits his dog Boycott, which is just the best name for his dog.
I'm literally going to steal that for my next dog.
Isn't that great? I know, it's perfect. A great name. But he credits Boycott to his becoming vegetarian. And I feel the same way.
Well, if you listen to the introduction I do for this entire show and why I am doing this podcast, everything always goes back to the dog I adopted about 10 years ago, Frida, because she, you know, I mean, I say I can literally look into her eyes and see the joy that all animals have and also the pain and suffering, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah. You know, I want to tell people how I first, well, I started hearing about your name when I started getting into animal welfare about 10 years ago, and I started following you on social media. And I remember specifically, and this is something I asked you about, I had to make sure it was you, but I knew it was, a Barnum and Bailey circus protest down in L.A. that we did a lot of several years ago, and thankfully they work because they no longer have elephants performing in those circuses. But I was down there at a protest holding up my sign with a lot of other protesters, and I remember out of the corner of my eye seeing a protester like wearing a clown outfit. And I thought, that's just genius. I was like, because that way the kids are going to come up and they're not going to be afraid. Because a lot of the protesters were yelling and screaming and they had the bullhorns out. And I was like, a lot of families were rushing past quickly. But I said, who is this wearing the clown outfit? Patty, who was that person wearing the clown outfit?
That was me. I was a sad clown because the circuses with wild animals are very sad, very tragic. And I wanted to convey that it really isn't a happy place.
Mm-mm.
Nor is it a safe place. So,
talk a little bit about that before we start talking about, because I know that is another passion of yours. Elephants are a real true passion of yours, and saving them and the work you did getting Ruby out of the LA Zoo and into the sanctuary. So what is it? I mean, I know it's all animals, but I know you're very passionate about, you were down there, you were protesting, and you know, what was it about these animals in live entertainment that is so bad, and why you fight to end that?
Well, wild animals, you can never take the wild out of wild animals. Mm. What they do is they beat them until their spirit is gone, and they have so much fear of the bull hook or any other kind of stick or thing that they call a guide, but it's really a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way you can make wild animals do what you want to do. So I'm against the cruelty of it. I'm against the taking out of the wild to do this. I'm against the danger that it poses to the spectators, to everybody. So there's so many reasons that circuses with wild animals or riding elephants or any of these things, they all need to stop.
Right.
And there's a lot of that goes on in Thailand. They have, and Cambodia and stuff, they have elephants painting.
Right.
They have elephants begging on the streets. They have elephants massaging and, of course, rioting.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those, people need to know that these elephants have been terribly, terribly abused as babies to be able to do that. And it's called pajan, or
right,
the crush box, which you've seen probably in Love and Bananas. They show short clip of it, which is just perfect because it's excruciating to watch. And just imagine what it's like to be that elephant, that baby.
Well, no, and David Castleman talked a lot about that, too.
Mm-hmm.
No, I remember a video that was going around. This was several years ago, and this is before I really knew about the crush box and what. And it was a elephant painting.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was going crazy about it. Oh, my God, isn't this adorable? Oh, my God, isn't this beautiful? Look what elephants can do. They're so intelligent.
Right.
And I kind of, I bought into that because I didn't know the truth behind it. I thought, that is kind of cool. Wow.
Yeah.
And they look like they're having a good time. It's the same thing with these dolphin swims. People do these dolphin swims and, you know, they go, well, look, the dolphins are having fun. They're smiling.
Right.
Well, that's, they're
right,
not smiling.
Right, right. That's anthropomorphizing.
What is anthropomorphizing? Tell me what that is.
That is putting human feelings onto animals.
Right.
Which actually the animal abusing industries do much more than we animal activists do. Like the LA Zoo will say, Billy, this is his home, and Billy loves us, and we love him. Billy doesn't love you. He has a terrible life there, and they still don't want him to leave.
Right.
They
right,
don't want him to have a better life.
No.
And the real proof we have of it is that when Ruby got up to Paw's sanctuary, some of her zookeepers came to see her, and she ran away from them.
Oh my God.
Now, that is the voice of the animals. That's the one voice we have from an elephant who got out of the LA Zoo and got up to his sanctuary, and she ran away from them. So don't tell me that Billy loves you. You're her ward, his warden.
Yeah, I just had to listen to someone talk about the LA Zoo, saying that Billy is so well taken care of and spoiled. And actually, out of her mouth, I'm not going to say the person's name. I actually don't know the person's name, but I wiped it out of my mind. I tried to wipe it out of my mind. That person said that if I come back in a next life, I want to come back as Billy because Billy has such a great life.
And well, I thought, well, I hope she does. And probably
right?
will advocate for her.
Right.
Because
right.
no elephant, whether it comes from a reincarnated bitch
right.
or
there you
however,
go. Yeah.
deserves to live like that.
No. No.
So. And he is spoiled. I have to say, at a neighborhood council meeting where we were trying to introduce people to get behind the Free Billy campaign, mm-hmm. Paul Koretz, our city council member, talked about how elephants in the wild travel like 50 miles a day for food and
oh, for
water
sure.
holes
yes.
and all that. Mm-hmm. But one of the zoo people came up and said, well, Billy doesn't have to go 50 miles a day. We bring him his food. Which, like, and that's why Billy is unhealthy and unhappy.
Right.
He is not able to do what elephants naturally do. And my thing about the painting, because a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, recently posted an elephant painting, and I immediately, you know, responded, this is elephant abuse. This elephant was beaten terribly to do this. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, deleted it right away and said, oh, my God, I had no idea.
Right, right.
But my feeling is, if they don't do it in the wild, it's not natural, and don't support it. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely simple.
Yeah.
Easy, easy, easy. Yeah. Well, okay, so we're going from that.
Yes.
Because I could talk to you literally for hours and hours.
Right.
And I will and we'll have you back for sure.
Oh, please.
But I really want to talk all of us need an education on palm oil and what palm oil is doing.
Yeah.
And thankfully it is I am hearing a lot of people mentioning or asking, does this have palm oil in it? Da, da, da. But what a lot of people don't know is that it can also be kind of hidden from us. There's a lot of trickery involved. But let's kind of start at the beginning. For those who are listening, who are sitting there right now going, well, what the heck? I didn't even know there was a problem with palm oil. What the heck? What is palm oil? And I know you lecture on this a lot.
I lecture on it some. I would love to lecture more. So I live mm-hmm. in Los Angeles. If you have a high school or a college where you'd like me to come and lecture about this, it's mm-hmm. about a 45-minute lecture. I would be happy to.
Great.
At no cost.
Great.
Because the cost of palm oil is too high. Palm oil is a fruit. It's a plant that looks like a palm tree, and it yields a very big red fruit. Mm-hmm. And there are two components to it. So there's the palm fruit that comes from the actual fruit, but then there's a nut inside. So there's also palm kernel oil that comes out of that.
Okay.
So both of those are used in cosmetics, foods, cleaning products, even biofuel.
Ah, so it's not just food. A lot of people might just think, oh, we're just talking about getting palm oil out of food. We're using it in
makeup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
And we will even find palm oil even in vegan products, right?
Absolutely.
If we're not careful.
Absolutely. For sure. Oreos, which is not a very good vegan food, but
right.
it is vegan. But there's palm oil. There's palm oil in Tofutti Cuties, some of the cheeses. Most mm-hmm. of the soy milks have palm oil. It's
oh,
called
wow.
palmitate A.
Let's talk about why
is not all vegan foods are animal friendly. Palm oil kills orangutans and others.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that's our whole point of being vegan, right? Is mm-hmm. to not kill anybody. So,
right.
And I know that's hard. It's idealistic. But we know what palm oil is doing. And I've never, and I've asked Dr. Birate about this, I've never encountered the destruction, the devastation that palm oil has produced.
Well, let's talk about that. What is palm oil? Because palm oil is really found in just two areas, right?
No.
Okay, let's educate me.
Okay.
Educate me.
Well, palm oil has been mainly coming from Indonesia.
Okay.
From the two islands where the orangutans live now. They used to live all over Asia and China. They are now only on two islands, Borneo and Sumatra. And there, which is Indonesia, they have destroyed at least 80% of their forests to plant palm oil plantations. But it has now, because it's gotten popular, it has now gone back to Africa, which is originally where the palm oil plant came from, and it is also in Central and South America. And with each of these places, there are good things that happen. There are jobs that are created, and the economy gets better, but there are devastating things. First of all, the endangerment and killing of many species, not just orangutans, many species. Forced and child labor. Mm-hmm. The displacement of indigenous peoples and minority communities. Mm-hmm. And climate change. Because this is where it gets complicated, especially in Indonesia, which is a peatland forest. Mm-hmm. Peatland is more fibrous. You know, it kind of is like muddy almost when you walk in it, but it absorbs the carbon from the atmosphere. So when they cut down the trees, they release all of that carbon back into the atmosphere.
Oh my gosh. So why, the thing for me is that, because I read that over 50% of products in our markets right now, not just here, but the UK, all over the world, Australia, New Zealand, and activists all over the world are trying to kind of create sustainable palm oil, right?
Yes.
But 50% of products in our market, packaged products in our market, contain palm oil.
Right.
And I'm just, you know, first I scratch my head and go, why?
Right.
Is it, you know, why is there so much palm oil and why do we need it so much? Or why is there this demand?
Right.
And then, you know, if people can make the connection between, you know, looking at the ingredients and then realizing that what they're eating is actually having this direct impact on the environment and the animals. But why do you think there, you know, there's this demand for it? Why so much?
Well, because it's the largest yielding fruit. So you can get much more quantity out of one palm oil plant than you can from any of the other oils, plant oils. Also, it's cheaper, and it also has no taste at all.
Oh.
So it's very easy to put in things. It's a good emulsifier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's basically the reason.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And tell me what's happening to the animals, and let's talk about, because I know you've traveled to these areas. You've seen firsthand what's going on. So tell me about your trips, what you're seeing, and who's suffering the most.
Okay. Well, let me start with saying that I went to a lecture at a home in Santa Monica in probably about 1999, and I met Dr. Birute Galdikas. She was selected, along with Jane Goodall and Diane Fossey, by Louis Leakey to go and study a great ape. He wanted her to study bonobos, but she really wanted to study orangutans, and she talked him into it. So she's been studying them since the early 70s, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. And, of course, soon after she started studying them, she realized she had to start rescuing them. She started Camp Leakey years ago.
Which is where? Where's that?
That's in Borneo.
Okay.
Yeah. I've only been to Borneo. I've never been to Sumatra. I'm hoping that I will perhaps next month.
Excellent.
With Katie Cleary, who's doing a documentary called We Are One, and she wants to spotlight what's happening to the orangutans.
Fantastic.
And so I met her, and I became a big supporter right away. I was just blown away by what was happening. Mm. But it wasn't until 2011 when I went to Borneo with her, when I held the orphan babies and played with the juvenile orangutans and went on a release of grown males, that I really was struck by the tragedy and came home and said, I've got to do more about this. I have to educate people. This has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it got started. So I was there in 2011, and then I went back in 2017.
And what's happened to, talk specifically about the numbers and the decline. And I didn't know a lot about orangutans before this interview. I know I love them. I know I connect. I think they're beautiful. I know they're down to pathetic numbers.
Yes.
But what I did learn about them, I found incredible. I mean, that they can live up to 60 years. They should be living up to 60 years, right?
Correct.
The mothers, and correct me if I get any of this wrong, because I'm trying to pull it out of my head right now, but like literally the moms have babies, like one baby at a time, I think?
One baby about every 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
Because they're single mothers. And their babies, when they're born, immediately attach to them.
Mm-hmm.
So these babies, you know, are on their bodies for the first few years. Then they start moving out, getting stronger and stuff. But until about 7 or 8, she's the primary only caretaker of them. She can't afford to have another baby. So that's another strike against them, that they have usually one baby every 8 years or so.
Right. And because of what's happening, do we call it deforestation?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the deforestation of the areas. And these animals live in trees.
They do.
Right?
They're arboreal creatures, yes. They're the largest tree-dwelling animal in the world. And they're a semi-solitary.
So what do they do? I mean, so their trees are wiped out.
Their trees are wiped out.
They'll
often kill the mother and mm-hmm. take the baby and try to sell it, put it in the pet trade, or they get rescued by a wonderful group. The pet trade, I just want to add, mm-hmm. is the third largest black market in the world after weapons and drugs. And we're talking about sentient beings. We're talking about our cousins. And of course, they're not the only ones. The pet trade is huge and doesn't discriminate at all. They'll take any kind of animal.
So they're sending these babies all over the world, or are they centered in Asia? Is there a demand for them as...
You know, I think they are sent around the world. Not a whole lot, I don't mm-hmm. think, but I'm not really sure about that. But Indonesians sometimes do try to have them as pets.
Yeah.
You know, when they're really little, they're cute, they're like our little babies and stuff. But by the time they're 2 to 3 years old, they're terrors. I mean,
right.
Nothing like our terrible twos. They're extremely strong, very powerful, can, you know, fly around.
right.
So, you know, they end up caging them or asking for help, or they get busted. Because it is illegal to have orangutans as pets in Indonesia.
So the experience for you going there is sounds like it's unlike anything else. You're connecting these animals on a level that just shifted you, changed you, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I love all animals, and that's part of what I think has been my problem in being effective, is that I've never just said, okay, I'm going to just deal with orangutans.
Mm-hmm.
I'm with the elephants, I'm with the farm animals, I'm with the pets. I'm all over the place. I could never just say, okay, I'm going to do this. But, yeah, they hold a really strong place in my heart. And I call it a global tragedy, and it is for all wildlife. I mean, I could sit here and name numbers of what certain wildlife, how many we have left. And it's just terrible. It's just terrible. While we have 7 billion people, and
yeah.
then hunters still go out there. And trophy hunters still go out there and kill these endangered species so they can put them on their wall?
Yeah, I don't even understand that. That's a whole psychotic mentality. I mean, that is like, I don't even understand.
I know.
Like that's, I always, when I see someone trophy hunting, I just go, what happened to that person in their childhood to turn them so wrong like that?
Right.
That is
right.
Dark stuff.
It is dark
stuff. Because if you get
stuff.
Joy right. out of, and a lot of them will say, well, we're doing this for bringing money into the village, whatever, and you're just like, oh, please, yeah. No. You wouldn't be smiling next to the dead giraffe or smiling next to the dead elephant, holding up the table if you were doing this to help other people.
Exactly.
I mean, let's at least get real.
Right. And the truth is they don't really. Most of the money goes to either the group that brought them over or the government. The people that live there don't get anything. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And my saying is hunters put the con in conservation.
Big time.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Palm oil.
Yes.
Let's go back to palm oil because we need to help people. Because let's just say if tomorrow we all stopped eating palm oil, or at least we only use sustainable palm oil, palm oil that we know, you know, and I don't even know all that goes into that. I just know it's possible that companies are doing it, and every company should be doing it.
Right.
So, so I want people to kind of get a grip of how to look for palm oil. Now that we know that it's wiping out species like the beautiful orangutan and other species. What are some of the other species, please?
Let me name a few. There's the Sumatran tiger, the Sumatran elephant, the binturong, the Sumatran rhinoceros, the Sumatran orangutan, clouded leopards, Asian tapir, the dhole, and the sun bear, which Dr. Birate has also started rescuing her sun bears. She has them at her sanctuary too now.
Wow. And you were saying earlier that before we started recording that we thought there were two species of orangutan, and then we discovered a third. So can you talk about that?
Yes.
I mean, as we're wiping them out, we actually discovered that there's a third?
Yes.
Okay.
Isn't that tragic? Because there are only around 800 of them left. They this past year, 2017, they were just classified as a distinct species. So now we have 7 great apes and 3 different kinds of orangutans.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Tapa Nui orangutan, let me find the information I have on that. There are about 800 of them, as I said.
And where are they located?
They're located in a tiny tract of forest in Sumatra, in northwest Sumatra, near the Lucerne ecosystem. And this is a place where they believe the ancestral orangutans first entered what is now Indonesia from mainland Asia.
Wow.
And get this one. They diverged from the Sumatra orangutans about 3.4 million years ago when they became isolated due to an eruption. And they diverged from the Bornean orangutans about 674,000 years ago when the islands were connected by land bridges and the sea level was much lower. So these orangutans have been around millions and millions of years, and we humans are going to wipe them out in one century.
Get
a grip on that.
Get a grip on that. Wrap your head around people.
Really.
Because we all have to own this.
Yes.
I mean, we have to own this because, I mean, I'm sorry, but I could say, I mean, I'm vegan now, but even so, I bet you that there's something I ate that I didn't look at the ingredients carefully enough.
Right.
And I took in palm oil or shampoo. Or am I asking the person who does my hair, is there palm oil in the product? We actually have to tell people too that it may not just say palm oil. There's other things they call it also to be super, super clever, right?
Yes,
because
here's the
palm
list,
oil
Jennifer.
makes it too easy. Here's some alternate names for palm oil. I gotta put my glasses on. I don't know what happened to my glasses.
Well, generally, I would say to people, if you see the word palm in it, except for hearts of palm is fine. Palm oil, palmitate, palmoline, all of those, probably it means palm oil.
Yeah, so I'm going to read out a couple. Yeah, I'm going to put this on the website also, everyone, so you can see, because some of these I can't even pronounce. But it is a vegetable oil. So it's like they can even say vegetable oil
and
it can be palm, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sodium lauryl lactylate and palmitic acid and palmoline and lauryl sulfate and palm kernel oil. Mm-hmm. All right, so a lot. Then I see some numbers: 481-3, 483-5, cetyl alcohol. Okay, yeah. So clearly this is happening because they don't want us to know what we're putting in our mouths. Because as soon as we, the more educated we get, I mean, they're just work. They do this on purpose.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
So how do we, as consumers who care, you know, what do we do? Because this is overwhelming for a lot of people.
Of course it is. It's overwhelming to me. I mean, I look at labels all the time, and I can't always say that I know that it's not palm oil.
And the big organizations have to, the ones like you mentioned Oreo, I don't know if that's Nabisco, I'm not quite sure who that is, but the bigger organizations have to own this, and they, because they're the ones that, I mean, we as consumers have to put pressure on them.
Yes.
But then they have to make the shift. They have to do this.
Yes.
I mean, so it's
this is a consumer-driven problem. Mm-hmm. We are the ones who are driving this by buying these products. And we do have to pressure these companies to either give up palm oil or to go to sustainable. Now, I'm dubious about sustainable. I think there is some. But it's like, to me, it's like cage-free eggs. Mm-hmm. They're not really cage-free. Well, they're cage-free, but now the chickens are all in a big room where it's as tight as can be. And they have a little outdoor area that's like, you know, 3 feet by 3 feet or something, and that's called cage-free. So, you know, there's a lot of lying and misconception in labeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to avoid palm oil, and I'm always saying boycott all palm oil, because I don't know how we can know that it's sustainable at this point.
I gotcha. Okay, so Patty, since you lecture and you're talking to a lot of people, what do you, because we obviously have to do something, and we have to do something in a big way. We haven't done anything in too long. We humans, as you just pointed out, have not been here that long, and we're wiping out all these species. And I mean, literally, it's enough. Like, I can't even handle hearing this.
No.
And I know you can't either.
No, it breaks my heart every day.
I know. And thank you for the work you're doing to try to help reverse this. So what do we, how do we start getting, I mean, you say no palm oil.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Right.
So we have to start looking at the ingredients.
Yes.
We have to be far more diligent.
Right.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We also need to reach out to companies to say, please get rid of your palm oil. Rainforest Action Network has a campaign to stop using conflict palm oil.
Okay.
It's targeting. They have a few that they mainly target. Big companies. Mars, mm-hmm. Kellogg's, mm-hmm. Campbell's, Heinz, PepsiCo, Kraft, Hershey's, ConAgra, and General Mills. These 20 companies, well, no, there's more, but those plus a few more gross more than $432 billion in revenue annually.
Right.
But they still have to cut down the Indonesian forest because it's cheap labor and cheaper to cut down the forest for them. They don't have to buy fertilizer to bring in because the ashes from burning the land that was the forest, the ashes become the fertilizer. So they do it as cheaply as they can, and they're coming off with $432 billion profits a year.
It's disgusting.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is disgusting.
So I would definitely reach out to those and Rainforest Action Network to help them on their campaign with that.
Okay.
As you said, orangutans, we lose about 3,000 to 5,000 of them every year. And here's one thing I wouldn't do want to, there is a little hope. There's a new group called the Palm Oil Free Certification Accreditation Program. That's POFCAP. Was set up in August 2017, and it's the only international program to certify food products that are palm oil free.
Mm.
They're based in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They have companies apply for certification, and if they complete the required documentation, they then are certified, and there's a certification they can put onto their products. So we, the consumers, can see this certification, just like the Leaping Bunny for cruelty-free.
Right. And I like that Leaping Bunny.
I love that Leaping Bunny. Mm-hmm. And we're going to love this.
Okay.
So we need to pressure more American companies to get certified by this. But that's totally palm oil-free. And they check any potential palm oil-derived ingredients or research back to their source, which I don't quite understand how they do that. But they do.
But let's be thankful that they do that.
Absolutely.
And there are people out there who actually, because I'm just trying to think, is it really that hard, to figure out whether something has palm oil in it or not? It's probably not. If you have companies like this who are really doing the research and finding out where it was, the original source, where it came from, right?
Right.
To track the ingredients a little bit. Like if you're focused just on that,
right?
I think that I'm excited to check this
yes.
group out,
yeah.
and to support them,
yes,
because that's, we need more companies like this. And this is in Australia, though. We don't have anything like this in the United States.
No, we don't. But they are now able to be certified in the United States. I made a list for them of companies to reach out to. And so, we can pressure these companies to become part of POFCAP.
Mm-hmm.
And the one last thing about what they claim, and I believe them, they said just 17% of all palm oil being used today is non-conflict. That means sustainable. 17%.
Can we get to 100%? Do you believe that? Could we get to 100% sustainable palm oil?
I think we can. I don't want to have any palm oil, but everybody says it's just unrealistic. It's here and it's here to stay, and they're probably right on that. But
Tell me how you. Okay,
yeah.
Since we don't want any palm oil, tell me how you personally avoid it. Are you constantly looking at ingredients? Are there certain companies that you love because you know for sure
right.
where all their ingredients come from? Is there anyone that you can?
Well, Miyoko, she doesn't use any palm oil.
Okay.
And she's got a delicious vegan butter. Mm-hmm. Love it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love her cheeses too.
Mm-hmm.
And Follow Your Heart does have some palm oil. They're trying to get away from it.
Mm-hmm.
They do have it in some of their cheeses, but not in others.
Mm-hmm.
They know the problem. I've talked with them about it. They're trying to phase it out.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's really hard. I've cut down on eating a lot of things because of it, because I just don't know. Uncle Eddie's cookies have palm oil. Companies that you think are really good, and I'm not trying to put them down. They probably didn't know just how bad it was, but it's time to either get rid of the palm oil or make sure that it's sustainable.
Right, yeah. Right. Now that we know.
Right.
Yeah. It's kind of like, a lot of activists who are vegan get really angry at other people who have not gone vegan yet. And I'm always like, you know what? I wasn't there 10 years ago, so I have to have compassion for all those. And everyone comes at it at their own place. But yes, we are in a crisis. So we need to get all with the picture a little faster than because of all the damage we humans have done.
Absolutely. Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
Or
the
we can.
This deforestation that's going around the world is going to kill us too.
Mm-hmm.
Believe it or not, climate change is happening. Most of us believe it. There are a few that don't. It is happening, and it is happening very quickly, and it will destroy us as well as the rest of the kingdom, the animal kingdom.
Yeah.
Frankly, I think, we sort of earned it. They didn't.
Well, I do.
I'm not for all of us disappearing, but, it's like that we did this harm. We need to clean it up. And we need to stop this.
Well, that's the truth.
Yeah.
If we weren't here, I often right. think of that. If we weren't here, would these animals all be in this insane crisis? Would there be animals that were extinct? Because, every day we're hearing about new animals
right.
that make the...
Certainly not to the extent that we are now.
No.
Extinctions have gone on for ages, but mm-hmm. it's epidemic now. And it is because of us.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I talk about in my talks is that I think human overpopulation is the greatest reason for wildlife disappearing,
yep.
The biggest reason. Deforestation is the second biggest reason for agricultural or palm oil, primarily logging, gas,
yep.
Those
yep.
things.
Well,
the pet trade, hunting, fishing, overfishing, and now climate change. These are the things that are destroying the wildlife, and it will destroy us too, I hate to say it.
Well, no, I mean, hey, this is the podcast to say it. This is what we're trying. We're looking at these situations and going, okay.
I'm ringing the clarion bell. Can you
right,
hear it? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, I just want people to be way more sort of, when they're looking at the products they're eating, just or putting in their hair or whatever, asking the questions.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, here's the thing, it can be very awkward sometimes, or it can just be sort of, sometimes you just go, oh God, am I really have to ask this person if they're using like a palm oil free product?
Right.
But you know what? That's the only way we're going to shift this.
Mm-hmm.
Because if enough people ask that,
mm-hmm.
I'm just using hairdresser as an example because I went to the hairdresser a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And my hair person happens to be vegan.
Uh-huh.
So her stuff is vegan, right? But even so, just because it says vegan, I didn't think about that extra question.
Right.
Okay, it's vegan, but is there any type of palm oil in there? And I'm looking at that list you gave me.
Right.
And I mean, this is going to go on our website, people, and we should all print this out as alternate names for palm oil. Have this in our wallet so we can just start educating ourselves
right.
and asking the questions. And it's not about putting people on the, you know, just putting them in a tough spot. I mean, if I did find out that the girl washes my hair with the shampoo that has palm oil, and I'm not going to scream at her and tell her to take it out.
Well,
I'm just going to say, let's figure out something else,
right.
or let's write the company.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. We consumers run the companies. We're really their bosses. They have to cater to us. We need to pressure them to do right and to stop this. So that's a really big thing. In Australia now, they have a palm-free app. We don't have that yet. I don't know how to do that. I wish I did. But that would be an excellent thing to have.
You mean you actually do a scan? They
yes.
have a scanner?
You scan the product.
Oh, Australia.
I know.
Australia,
I know.
Bring it here to the United States. We will all download it for $1.99.
Yeah.
Or actually, I'd pay more for that one.
Yeah, I would too. Absolutely.
We have to figure that one out.
Yes.
That's interesting because I came across an article that in Australia said they were working on this, but I thought they were kind of behind us on this issue.
No.
And they're not.
No, they're not. They're doing great work. As they should. I mean, they're neighbors to Indonesia, really. They're quite close. Not that that really matters. We should all care no matter how far away the devastation's happening. Just because it's across the continent doesn't mean that we shouldn't care about it, right?
No.
Right.
No, because we're all connected.
Exactly.
That's the thing, too.
That's.
Is that how you feel? I mean, when it comes to animal welfare, I mean, is that how you feel? I mean, I can sense it, but it's like, That the reason you're so passionate about this is because you feel such a deep connection. And can you talk a little bit like on that? I mean, where's the proof? I mean, aren't we humans? Here's the argument, I guess, sometimes at protests, you know. Why do you spend so much time with animals? Why aren't you helping kids? Why aren't you helping, you know, abused women? I'm like, well, I actually have helped both of those, but we won't go down that road right now.
Right.
Because I happen to love animals. But
right.
you know, what do you say when people say that to you, and what does it mean to you?
Well, I say there are plenty of people helping kids and the other mm-hmm. critical issues that are very, very important. I'm not going to take them away. There are very few. I think it's 1% to 2% of money goes to environmental and animal causes.
Mm-hmm.
They are the underdogs as far as that, and that's that's a lot of the reason that I'm in it, but I also have a very strong connection to animals.
Mm-hmm.
I see animals as little children, all animals, because they're innocent, they're voiceless, and they're in need of our protection. So, and the way I see it is that we humans tend to think hierarchically.
Yes.
I'm better than you, he's better than her, you know. And the animals are always at the very bottom. And I think that we need to think circularly, like our Earth, that we're all in this together. And nobody's better than anybody. We're all interconnected. Mm-hmm. And we need to take care of, be stewards for all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's the way I see it.
I agree with you. Yeah. Although I do go back and forth because sometimes I think that animals are way better than us.
Well, I just posted that because there was a beautiful little video of a gorilla with a tiny little, I forgot what it is, a marmoset or something, another little primate.
Just
tiny. I mean, this was huge silverback with this tiny little, I mean, it must have seemed like a bug, and he's holding him, and the little marmoset isn't even afraid of him or anything. And I posted, I am completely convinced that the other great apes are far better than us.
Right, right.
I mean, nobody hates and destroys like humans, just nobody.
No. Or kill for fun.
For fun, right.
You know?
Right.
I mean, animals will kill for food.
They will, but they won't kill millions and then stuff them in a storage, you know, locker or a freezer.
Right.
You know, they kill one animal, they eat it. You know, it's not the numbers that we do, the complete holocaust that we do to animals.
Yeah, yeah. And when it comes to the great apes, the orangutans, we were talking earlier, people, because that's not an easy a lot of people tell me, but a lot of people say orangutan, right?
Right, right.
So yes. So what were you saying earlier?
There's
about
no
that?
No G in it. Orangutan.
Orangutan.
Yeah.
See, we're going to get lessons on how to
which
say
means
these.
Persons of the forest. When the Dutch first saw them in the 1600s, they thought that they were humans. And they're very close to us, obviously. They have 32 teeth like us. They have the same blood types as we do. They have opposable thumbs like we do, but unlike us, they have opposable feet too, toes, which is why it's like having four hands so they can hang from their head, you know, one arm and one leg. So that's what makes them very fluent,
right,
fluid
right.
In trees.
We'll
and
see
they sleep in trees. They make nests every night, a different nest every night in trees.
Oh. See, and that's where I get to that place where when humans, when there are people who say that we are the higher species, I'm like, well, wait a minute. We can't climb trees like that. Like, we can't communicate. I mean, I think elephants can communicate just miles and miles from each other without a telephone or texting. They just do it through,
right,
you know.
Exactly.
Sonic. I mean, how do elephants yes. they communicate?
Yes, through vibrations.
Vibrations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what about dogs who can sense a seizure coming on? We can't do that. We belittle animals all the time. And they have so many incredible qualities that it's really a shame.
What is your, when you're doing the animal welfare work, because I know for me, and I know a lot of us, we get overwhelmed. And this palm oil conversation can feel overwhelming because it feels almost like we've let this just go. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's out of control.
Mm-hmm.
It is
out of control.
It's out of control. It's like it's like the amount of animals we're killing in our shelters every year in the United States. Friggin' out of control. It's like over a million, right? Over 1 to 2 million dogs and more cats every year because we can't get that handled.
Right.
But like the palm oil, to me, I'm like, man, it's like if only we had dealt with this 20, 30 years ago. But now we're at this situation where it's just so for me, because I know you're so active and you're always doing something, how do you stay positive and how do you keep going? And what are some tips you have for people? No, sir,
I know.
Like, what do you do? Because a lot of people just get burned out or a lot of people lose hope.
Yeah, well, I sort of have lost hope, but I won't stop fighting. I will never stop fighting. That's what my life is about. And, you know, the only thing I can do is educate, legislate, do the things we can, try to get people to be thoughtful about animals.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have a lot of hope.
Mm.
And it hurts me every day, as I know it does for you.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts me what people do to people.
Mm-hmm.
Look at what we're doing to these immigrants who are just trying to flee from terrible situations. And then they come into this and get another terrible situation. So I don't have a lot of hope. My one other saying is the more humans, the less humanity. And I think that's true. So we have to keep our humanity. I totally support people who are feeling burnt out, who step aside for a little bit, take care of yourself, go on a vacation, go see them, you know, do something you really, you know, that brings you a lot of joy. Try to find the joy in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Try to have a great support system, people who understand your feelings and your passion. And as somebody said, and I always use this quote, we are their greatest hope. We are their greatest hope, their greatest threat, and their only hope.
Well, we are. And when it comes to what we're talking about today with the palm oil and the orangutans.
I love the way your voice goes down.
Yeah, it's all the way to say. Yeah, no, I'm so self-conscious saying it, but it's
just
all,
talk about them. Yeah. Even if you use the G, it's fine. Just,
yeah, I mean, we are their only hope. And when I look at them, I mean, I do. People of the forest, of course, they do look so much like us. I mean, they are us. Yeah. And it's like when I look at it, I go, how do you separate? I mean, the ego that we humans have,
and
where we're
arrogance.
Like, oh, the arrogance. And I say to myself, you know, there was a time when we humans were here in the very beginning where we weren't eating all this processed crap.
Right.
And bags of chips and boxes of cookies and processed meats. And, you know, we were using very pure ingredients.
Right.
We were growing our food. If meat was maybe consumed, was very rare, very little.
Right.
And everything that those animals ate, kind of, you knew it was going in their bodies. Now people are eating animals that have been injected with hormones. And it's like no
antibiotics.
Antibiotics. And people are feeding that stuff to their kids. And I go, so you have children. I don't have a child, but I know you have a daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So you bring a child into the world, and then you're just giving them all this crap to eat. And I'm thinking, well, you do know what that's going to do 30, 40 years from now. That child of yours is going to have major health issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just a given.
As will they. Right.
As will they.
Right.
So, like, just getting people, it was so interesting because I have a dear friend who is a Girl Scout leader, and they said the Girl Scout cookies, and they have palm oil in them. And I was like, that's an organization that's all about empowering young women, and theoretically, right?
Right. Oh, yeah,
and that's what the goal is. And I go, they could take the lead on this. Like, there are so many organizations that could say, you know what? Making money is not as important as saving the rainforest, as saving these animals, saving our planet. Not as important.
Mm-hmm.
We can
mm-hmm.
figure out other ways to make money.
Mm-hmm.
Or we find something else besides palm oil to put into our snickerdoodles.
Exactly.
And I'm not quite sure if the snickerdoodles have palm oil.
Right.
But
they
But I know that several of their cookies do.
Yes.
And not to bash on the Girl Scouts, because I know they do a lot of good stuff, but I think we need to have organizations really step up. And I know there are some that are.
Right.
Right? But we need more.
Right.
And thank goodness for organizations like the ones you've mentioned that are doing stuff. And we'll have those all listed on the website, too,
mm-hmm.
so that, you know, because this show's all about empowering people to just do something.
Right. Well, here's a funny thing about the Girl Scout cookies. Mm-hmm. I think it's in one or two of their cookies. About 20 years ago, two of Girl Scouts decided that they wanted to get rid of the palm oil in the cookies. They have not been successful yet, to my knowledge.
But we need to follow up on those girls.
They've already graduated from college.
They're 40 now.
Right.
they're, you know.
they have children of their own or Girl Scouts. No, I,
or perhaps they're in Australia now, actually, and they created an app.
There you go.
We don't know.
Right.
We don't know. But those are the, I mean, how about challenging right now some, you know, college grads who are, you know, vegans or on the path or who really care about animals and to create an app for us.
Right.
It's not.
Yes.
People are creating apps every day. So let's create an app like Australia did.
Absolutely.
So we can take that into a market. We can take that into our hair salon. We can take it. And I keep bashing on a hair salon. Sorry. Sorry, people. I mean, I love my hairstylist, but I just know that is where there's a lot of products being used and you don't know what's going on in your body. Or your massage therapist. Right. That I sadly have not done in a long time, been able to do that. But the oils, does that have palm oil in it?
Right, right.
I wouldn't even think to ask.
Right. And by the way, I know you had written to me about red palm oil.
Yes. I had a friend ask me about this. When I told her I was talking to you, she said, yeah, please ask about red palm oil because I'm confused.
Red palm oil is palm oil. The reason it's called red is because it is kind of reddish in color when you liquefy it. So it is palm
oil. So that's it?
Yeah.
So you're not...
So it's,
well, to my dear friend,
Davey,
sorry about that, but you cannot, she's a very dedicated vegan, but she, I mean, she's really on the path, but it does get overwhelming because you may think you're doing so good too. And then a company has slipped something into your food or you're at a restaurant and they've slipped something in and you forgot to ask and you're like, oh my God, I just had butter.
Yeah, right.
And I thought this was like, you know, olive oil or something, you know, so it's, you have to really stay vigilant.
You do have to stay vigilant. You have to excuse yourself when you make a mistake and don't realize it, you know, and just keep going and stick to the same principles. Don't give them up just because, you know, you accidentally had palm oil or butter,
right?
You know, stick with it,
right?
And
every day, just stick with it and just forgive yourself if you make a mistake and keep going. But I think the dialogue around this particular issue with palm oil is that we just need to be asking a lot more. We need to be more vocal about it. We need to educate people, tell everyone, you know, just no to palm oil. And they're very sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
They will call it many other things,
right?
And it's sometimes it's really hard. Perhaps calling companies, like if there are products that you really love and you use a lot, calling those companies directly and finding out, you know, if they're using any of these, if you know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Like that might be something to
Absolutely, for sure. Because as I said, this is a consumer-driven problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we, the consumers, need to drive it out.
Right.
Drive it in the right direction. And we do need to question them when they say they're RSPO, because they use that excuse a lot. And I always say, that's not good enough.
Okay, tell me the RSPO, is that?
Roundtable for Sustainable Palm Oil. It was established in, I think, 2004 by the companies that are actually doing the deforestation and using palm oil. So it's a little dicey.
You're sketchy on that one.
I'm very sketchy on it. Environmentalists and NGOs have criticized them because they said you cannot call it sustainable when you're not measuring the greenhouse gas emissions and when species are going extinct. So, you know, I would say, well, when they say, well, are we RSPO certified, I'd say, you know, that's not good enough for me. That's not good enough for me.
Okay, so on that, if that's not good enough for you, then what is... What is good enough? Like, you just want to see it taken out entirely.
Well, I'd like to see it taken out entirely, but there is a group that has further what RSPO is doing, and it's called POIG, which I think we spoke about, Palm Oil Innovative Group.
Right.
And they're stricter.
Okay.
To get certified by them, they're stricter. They have to be on already land that's already been used.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's no deforestation is allowed. They will not get certified by POIG if they're cutting down forests.
Oh, okay.
So
Great.
You have to use agricultural land.
And do they have a website?
I think they do.
Okay.
Yes.
So we will also have that for people to check out also.
Yes, I will get that for
and
you.
I think also celebrating the companies that are
right
making the
Absolutely.
Shift. And really letting them know how you know, we appreciate right. what they're doing, using their products.
Right.
And I will we'll do some research. I'll do some research on my end and have a lot of those companies right. on the website. Did you just knock our mic?
I did. I'm sorry. It was actually my glasses.
It's all good. But, yeah, we'll have that on the website too, so people can. I mean, look, everyone. It's not easy.
No, it isn't easy. Just try your best. Try your best. Like Califia mm-hmm. almond milk. No palm oil in that.
And where do we get that?
Oh, most markets, Ralph's.
Okay.
You know, health food stores.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Great almond milk.
What's the name again?
Califia.
Califia.
Califia, I think it is.
Okay. Shout out to Califia on this podcast. I mean, we want to do more of that.
Yes.
I drink almond milk, I want to know. It's interesting. I buy a lot of stuff for Trader Joe's. Mm-hmm. I'm asking a lot of the questions to Trader Joe's now.
Good, because they do use a lot of palm oil.
Well, that's,
I will tell you that.
And Whole Foods also, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I know. So you think it's healthier, and in some ways it might be, but actually, you know,
yeah.
We have to get with it, people. We got to do this. Yeah. Just go online and start and do your own research when it comes to these incredible animals that are being wiped out right now because of our consumption of palm oil and the environment and how it's being affected, and your earlier point that, you know, it's eventually going to kill all of us because we are all 100%, this is a circle.
Right.
We are all connected and we are all affected by this.
That's right.
And we could have our heads in the sand for so long. I mean, mine clearly isn't, yours clearly, and there's millions of us who know exactly what's going on.
Right.
So we just all need to kind of fight and
yes,
work on this together.
Yes, we need to keep fighting. We need to educate because I do think most people care about this issue.
Yeah. I think so, too.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Well, I could keep talking to you forever. We've been doing this for almost an hour, my friend.
That's great.
I learned a lot.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my God. This has been so great. And I want to bring you back and talk about so many different things you're working on. I'd love to just do a whole show on that sanctuary paws up in that you've done some work for, and I know they're amazing.
Yes.
The elephant sanctuary in Central California.
Yeah.
I just admire you greatly, and I am honored that you're on the show, and it's I just can't wait to see what you do next. And I think we can I am going to be optimistic here and think that we actually can save these animals because they are really us.
They are, yeah.
Slightly better than us.
Yes, I think so.
Right?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You.
It's an honor to be here.
Patty,
and
thank you.
Anybody who wants me to come lecture, please reach out to me. I'd be happy to. This is one of my life's missions.
Absolutely. And tell us how we can reach out to you.
Well, Twitter is Patty Shanker. That's PattyShenker. Instagram, Patty Shanker, and Patty Shanker on Facebook. And I also have a group called Where's the Palm Oil on Facebook. So please join. Please tell us why you joined and what you're doing to help. And keep fighting for all the animals. They need our help. We are their greatest threat and their only hope for all of them.
That's for sure. Thank you, Patty.
Thank you, Jeff.
Love you.
Love you, too.
You've been listening to And Justice for Animals. For more information on guests, to give feedback, or find ways to get involved, please go to our website, andjusticeforanimals.com. You can also follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And wherever you find your podcast, please subscribe to us, rate, and give us a good review. Oh, and one last favor. If you liked what you heard today and want to hear more, and which I really hope you do, please locate the donate button on our website and make a contribution. We run solely on donations now, and every little bit helps. The views, information, or opinions expressed during this podcast are solely those of the individuals involved. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to tag, microchip, spay, and neuter your pets. Have a great day, and always be kind to animals.